Go on, you stupid horse! I got my last 10 bucks on you! No, don't look at me! Run! No, don't come over here! Oh boy.
Let's go!
And coming at you from the basement of the basement, it's the Sports Cubicle. Inmates run the asylum. I don't know where Paulatius is. And Marvelous! Question for you. Dan Marver, do you have any cousins by any chance?
I have some cousins, but they're not named Mystic.
I was about to say, Mystic Dan won the 2024 Kentucky Derby, and I was wondering if you had any relation to Mystic Dan, Marver.
No, none whatsoever, but, you know, it was a three-way photo finish, and the horse won by a nose, and if you look at mine, there might have been some family resemblance.
Nonsense. I don't think you look like a horse, Marver. I don't know if it's an extended cousin or something, but Mystic Dan, Dan Marver, what are the odds?
I don't know. What were the odds? I didn't bet it. Did you?
No, I did not bet at all. And if I would have known, I would bet all on you, Marvelous. I'd be broker than
you.
I already am.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And, of course, we got a crazy big show. We got the general manager and vice president of the Kane County Cougars, Curtis Hogg. He's going to be joining us on the show. Mercado and Paul got their solution to college bowl games. And, of course, the Bears have changed everything. So, Mercado! Take it away.
We keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, and the NFL draft has come and gone. Caleb Williams, Roman Dunze, our Chicago Bears, and there's so much hope in the air for the Bears fandom, for the future of the Chicago Bears in many people's eyes. And over the next few weeks, over the next few months, we will see these rookies, these new additions, this team put on pads, go to training camp, and eventually play real NFL games. But until then, we get to enjoy all of the optimism, all of the hopium that is the potential of this team, what could be a successful season, which could be a turnaround for this entire franchise in Chicago. And it got me thinking about expectations, because while everybody is undefeated right now, everybody has a chance to win the Vince Lombardi Trophy, everybody has a chance to play in the Super Bowl right now, there is going to be a point where we're going to have to start making educated guesses, where we're going to scout teams, we're going to make predictions, and it's going to create expectations. And before we even get to those shows, before we get to that barbershop conversation, before we get to those water cooler moments, we're going to already have made up our mind heading into that because of expectations that are building as the months go on. And that's what's happening with the Chicago Bears. Expectations have changed for Chicago. Last season, this team won 7 games. This was without Justin Fields, who missed 4 of those. They won 2 of those games with Tyson Bagent at QB. There were a lot of games where the Bears gave up a lead late, where the Bears couldn't finish a comeback late. And there was some expectations last season, but everything changed when Montez Sweat joined the team, when Jalen Johnson and that secondary took another step, when you had somebody like Edmonds solidifying the linebacker position post Roquan Smith. This team started gelling and playing good defense and taking a next step. And you had DJ Moore, who showed that he is quarterback proof, that he is team proof, that he is just a top tier receiver. Expectations were building then. And then you get into the draft, where after making a huge trade to get DJ Moore, to get what would be Darnell Wright with the 9th overall pick, trading away what was your first overall pick, coming back to it, now owning the number 1 pick again to draft Caleb Williams, having your own pick at number 9, and picking Roman Dunze, after trading for Keenan Allen, after signing DeAndre Swift, after signing Gerald Everett, after giving contract extensions to Cole Kmet, and players on defense like Jalen Johnson and Montez Sweat, expectations have changed for the Chicago Bears team. And it's not just on paper. It's not just a Bears fan optimism. When you look down the entire roster from the running back room, which is a huge blanket for a rookie quarterback that's coming into one of the best situations a number 1 overall pick has ever walked into, a running back room with DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, and even a Travis Homer. A wide receiver room with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Dunze as your 1, 2, and 3. While having Tyler Scott and Dante Pettis and Velus Jones Jr., so on and so forth. That room completely changed after Darnell Mooney goes to Atlanta. Not knowing what this wide receiver group was going to look like before you got Keenan Allen. All of a sudden, though, you do get Keenan Allen. to team up with DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze falls to you in the draft. Completely changes the dynamic of this Bears wide receiver trio at this point. This is from Bears Wire at USA Today. The Bears made a splash trading for Pro Bowl wide receiver Keenan Allen in exchange for a fourth-round pick. Allen joined star DJ Moore, and both are coming off 1,000-yard seasons. Factor in the addition of Roma Dunze, who fell to Chicago at number 9, and Williams will have one of the league's best receiver trios in his rookie season. The Bears also returned Tyler Scott, and they re-signed Dante Pettis, who brings special teams value. We're talking about the Bears now, having a dynamic wide receiver group. And it's not just through the eyes of a Bears fan. This is coming from someone like me who's able to separate myself, thinking of fantasy football, betting, prop bets. The Bears have a for real wide receiver group. At tight end, the ultimate blanket for a rookie quarterback. Cole Kmet, heck of a catching tight end. May not have the best moves, may not be able to do the stuff Travis Kelce can do, but a reliable target and a beast of a man. And Gerald Everett, one of the unsung heroes at tight end in the NFL. This article mentions Chicago has a solid 1-2 punch at tight end with Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. Kmet, who signed a contract extension before the start of last season, is coming off a career year, while Everett gives the Bears a true move tight end to pair with stud Kmet. Again, just making this offense dynamic for Shane Waldron, who was able to get the best out of Geno Smith, but also get the ball to DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. A question is the offensive line now, if we're focusing on offense and expectations. Because this only works if Caleb Williams is great. If he's the truth, if he lives up to his potential, if he takes the steps that somebody that's projected like him takes and is able to make those level changes. He has to stay upright. He needs to be protected. And right now, Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones and Nate Davis and Ryan Bates are all going to be assigned. Their duty, their life's mission is to keep Caleb Williams upright and give him enough time to make magic. Because that's what Caleb Williams will do if he's given the opportunity. There's a lot of questions at center, if that's what Bates is going to be. There's a lot of questions on whether or not Tevin Jenkins is going to be able to stay healthy. He's going to have a contract talk too. Darnell Wright is going to be a starter for the Chicago Bears for a long time, but it won't be at left tackle, which is the primary spot in the offensive line. And of course, specifically though for the Bears, a center, which we'll see if that's what it's going to be with Ryan Bates. But that room is going to need help if you're looking for a weak point on offense. That's where it's looking the most as a glaring need, is more offensive line depth help. And it never hurts in the NFL to have depth help in the offensive line. And at edge rusher, you have Montez Sweat, you have DeMarcus Walker, and you draft Austin Booker. So if Austin Booker ends up being a good pro, just a solid pro alongside of Montez Sweat, that's a pretty good dynamic at edge rusher. Could use a little bit more help, obviously. But it's not bad at all. Where they will need help is defensive tackle. Andrew Billingsley and Javon Dexter, you're going to need more after you lost Justin Jones. And that is the jewel of this Bears team, is the defense. So your edge rusher, your defensive tackles, it is what's going to make your secondary special. Having monsters like Montez Sweat over there, just absolutely disrupting what's going on with the opposing offense and that quarterback, gives a secondary the chance to do special things. It gives Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon and Tyrique Stevenson the opportunity to be special like we've seen them be special. Like Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard, who you just brought in from Philadelphia. So the crown jewel of this team is going to be defense. And if they're able to get to the quarterback, like any NFL team, like any scheme, but with the talent they have in the secondary, at linebacker, with TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds and Jack Sanborn, and they have guys there. If they're able to get to the quarterback, this Bears defense, the crown jewel of this team right now that isn't Caleb Williams, that will be the true crown jewel of this organization. Right now, the fixture, the anchor that is this Bears defense, they get to the quarterback, they're going to be top five. Not just top 10, top five. So all this is expectations before we've even seen anybody put on pads. This is just scouting. This is just projections that lead to expectations. When we make predictions, when we put that dollar bet and who's going to win each division. And that's what the Bears are now facing. So here's the ultimate question. I think the players on the field, on offense and defense, from the DJ Moores and Keenan Allens to now the Roma Dunzes and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett, that running back room, that awesome defense from Montez Sweat and Jalen Johnson, even the star of the show now, Caleb Williams, I think they're all going to show up. I think they're all going to raise their game. I think they're all going to do what they're supposed to in the moments that ask them to do it. Question is, are the Chicago Bears organizationally from the very tippy top ready to play big time business? That's what's at stake right now with these expectations. Because with these expectations, if they're met, means a golden era for the charter franchise of the National Football League. Something we have not seen in over 35 years. That's what's at stake. Can they live up to that moment? I believe the players will. I even believe the coaching staff will give us their best, and it will be pretty okay. But can Kevin Warren, can the McCaskies do what's necessary to allow Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron, Caleb Williams, and everybody on to do what they've not been able to do since 1985? And that's become not only respectable, but a competitive winner in the NFL. That's what expectations are. And that's what they've become for the Chicago Bears team. We want to know your thoughts, though. Let us know. We're on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com, The Sports Cubicle. Catch us wherever you get your favorite podcast, at Apple or Spotify, at Sports From The Couch, The Sports Cubicle, and, of course, at Heartland Signal at The Sports Cubicle. We keep things rolling here on The Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I am joined with the one, the only, Devin Tingle. And Devin, there has been a lot of rain here in Chicago recently. I see the Stanley Cup playoffs. I see the NBA playoffs. I just saw an NFL draft happen, and Major League Baseball is in full swing, which means, my friend, we are in springtime and summer is all so close, and we have been celebrating it by celebrating all the awesome teams locally here in Chicago. And Devin, we have a treat because the king, the one that wears the crown, is joining us here finally on the Sports Cubicle. What treat did you bring to us today?
Well, you know, for you, Mercado, baseball on the north side is a fun and fantastic and magical thing. For myself, baseball on the south side is the dreadful, most miserable time of my life here. And if we had teams like the Kane County Cougars, I'd probably go crazy because I won't be able to see a team win for once. And we're joined by the vice president and general manager. I wonder how this man sleeps with all these titles of the Kane County Cougars. He's Curtis Haug. Curtis, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Great to be on.
So, Curtis, I guess first question I got to ask here is, you've been around for a while. You've been with the Kane County Cougars for years now. I guess, what is the thing everyone can expect and you're looking most forward to about this 2024 season for the Kane County Cougars?
You know, we're looking forward to welcoming the fans back into the ballpark. We're looking forward to the new roster of players. We're looking forward to creating a great fan experience like we always do. And we're looking forward to all the great theme nights and promotions and things that we have scheduled for this year. It's pretty amazing what we've put together. And we're looking forward to the summer, and baseball. What more can you ask? Sunshine, baseball, and fireworks. What more can you ask for?
Curtis, let me ask you, I'm so glad you said that, because usually that means, like you're saying, barbecues are here, families coming into town, schools out of session, and it is a great time, and it's something that we always celebrate here. But, one thing that I think we also have to celebrate is the change in the game and the fan base and everything that kind of comes with a growing sport, a growing fan base, and a growing community. Has it surprised you over the last, you've been with the team this whole entire, you're a fixture with the team. Has it surprised you to see the growth of baseball and not just the Northsiders or the Southsiders, but baseball all around the state of Illinois, the fanship grow, and also watching the game grow and involved in all its different ways that it has the last few years?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, we've had a great following. We've got a great fan base here for a long time. And it's amazing. Baseball just it brings people together. Yeah, I don't care if you're 4 years old or 84 years old and everything in between. Baseball is just a game. It brings people together. It's a lot of fun. There's so much going on here at the ballpark in addition to a baseball game that there's pretty much something for everybody, and it's really special. It's a great time of year. Everybody's got high hopes. And it's awesome.
So there's a lot of Americana when we're talking about Major League Baseball and when we're talking about partners of MLB, the different affiliates, and all the different towns that they call home, and what we think, what we imagine. And I always say, you know, Devin, our host here, Devin, our awesome co-host, Paul Shavari, and our other awesome co-host, Dan Marver, we all are very romantic about baseball. And I think it's really hard not to be when you're hearing all the stories of the players on the field, the coaches, and the front office, and the people that work on the field. And I think what you just said, the fireworks, and we have this imagination, this picture of it. And then I see something about atomic pork chops. What, when you're putting this all together, like, how much is it an entire package that it can't just be great food and great atmosphere, or it can't just be a great team? It has to all come together to make one awesome package that the Kane County Cougars are.
Yeah, there's so many things that come together, you know, with the fan experience, you know, whether it's the great food, the cold beer, the great options for food and beer, you know, all the different promotions and theme nights and fireworks shows after the games, and the kids run the bases after the game, and you know, you come to the ballpark and there's something special every game, every night. And, you know, there's new people that come to the ballpark every night. So, you know, we put on a great show each and every game, knowing that it could be somebody's first game for sure. And there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of new people in the area. We're constantly reaching out to new people. And in addition to the great fan base that we have, but I mean, is it just something special about coming to a ballpark? I mean, it's just really cool.
Devin?
Yeah, so Curtis, you mentioned theme nights a lot here, and I'm looking on the website right now, and there's so many things. From there's Marvel Night, there's Harry Potter Night, there's a Squishmallows giveaway, and it looks like you're going to even have a Taylor Swift Night. And I don't know if you heard this, Mike, Paul, our co-host, he's already bought us all tickets for Taylor Swift Night. He's a huge Swifty.
Attaboy.
So I guess, Curtis, what are, you know, some promotions that, you know, are your favorites or you're most excited to see at the ballpark this year?
You know, we've got a real unique one this year that we've never done before. We probably can't do it, you know, for another 20 years or however long it's going to be. But we've got Cicada Night here this year, and we're going to take the identity of being the Kane County Cicadas. We've got jerseys, we've got hats, and we are the Kane County Cicadas for one game, and it's going to be crazy. We're going to have all sorts of, you know, chocolate covered ants and cicadas and grasshoppers available for fans. And we're going to, you know, hand out fly swatters, you know, just in case they need to swat a cicada or two. It's just going to be a lot of fun. It's something different. And and with all the talk about cicadas in this area, I think it's a perfect fit. In addition to that, I mean, I can go on and on. We've got Outer Banks Night. You know, we've got Bluey coming here two times.
Oh, let's go.
Imagine? I mean, Bluey and Bingo are going to be at the ballpark two times this year. And we got
Mercado.
Right. And then you got video game night. We're going to give away a PS5 every inning on video game night. I mean, we've got some great stuff. In addition to the, you know, the Taylor Swift thing and Christmas in July and Hawaiian nights. And we got American Girl Night here. We're going to give away American Girl dolls. And we're going to give away accessories to American Girl. We've got Build-A-Bear Night out here. We're going to give away a custom Cougars Build-A-Bear to the kids. I mean, there's just so many things going on. It's a lot of fun.
Curtis, it's funny
because... Curtis, you ever need a sports cubicle night, we're always available.
hey, listen, yeah, he can't work that much magic, okay? I mean, the Kane County Cougars do some amazing stuff, but they can't even pull that one off. Curtis,
we just have a lot of fun things scheduled. It should be, you know, it's something for everybody.
Curtis, that's one thing I want to say. There's something for everybody. So I think one thing that what I'm hearing a lot, and you know, I've had this experience when I went to the games when I was a child, going in as an adult, that it's trying to keep up with the time, trying to keep up with people's attention. What is the R&D when it comes to behind the scenes? You've seen it all. You've come through the entire organization. You have the pedigree when it comes to players that have come through that ballpark. You have the pedigree of always coming through for the fan base. What is it like behind the scenes with the research and development of coming up with all these different analytics to see what's popping, what's not, what's lame, what's hot, what can we promote, what goes well with the team's vibe that we have this season, with the affiliate we have this season? What is it like behind the scenes to kind of pull all the, to come up with all this and then pull it off?
So I think it starts with, we got a great group of people here. We got a real passionate group of people that just love what they do. And that is so crucial when it comes to all this. And we're looking for things that are current, that are up, you know, that are, you know, top of mind to people, and things that are going to draw people, they're going to get people's attention. And the staff here does a great job of cultivating things like that and putting them together. And, you know, and it's not just throwing out a night. You know, you got to have a playbook for that night. You got to have all sorts of things to support that night. And our staff does a great job with it. And then our food and beverage people, I mean, they're always coming up with great ideas for new food items, or more, you know, some beer options, or we're having food trucks here this year, like we've done in the last, you know, 3-4 years, just different things that fans have, you know, that you gotta roll with the times. And, you know, food trucks are popular right now with people, and all these other, you know, theme nights like Taylor Swift and video games. I mean, that's popular stuff for people right now. And we're having an office night. Meredith from The Office will be here on that night. That'll be fun. And Outer Banks, Charlton Heston's going to be here for that one. I mean, there's just a lot of things that go into all of these nights. And then when you talk about the players, the history here, I mean, we've had guys like Kyle Schwarber, Josh Beckett, Miguel Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, you know, just a ton of guys come through here, and Wilson Contreras. I mean, there's just been it's amazing the history when it comes to players over the years that have come through here.
He is the vice president and general manager of the Kane County Cougars. For one night only, coming up later on this season, the Kane County Cicadas. He is Curtis Haug. He is joining us today on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I'm joined with Devin Tingle. And Curtis, we've been previewing this entire spring heading into the summer, the awesome baseball in the north side and south side of Chicago when it comes to the fan bases, whatever the results may be on the field or off the field. But one thing I know you're keeping your eye on is what does happen with the pro sports teams in the city of Chicago, the entertainment district of Chicago, because you guys are presenting not only a quality sports product, but an entertainment product. And you've also heard a lot of talk about stadiums, brand new stadiums. And a concern we've heard about the beloved Chicago Bears is if they went to Arlington Heights, they won't be able to claim the Chicago area. They'll be playing in Arlington Heights. And we all know there's a bunch of science and data that's been pointed out that how many teams don't actually play in the city that they're named after. But Kane County itself calls themselves, they claim an entire county, you know, as the name shows, but they also, you guys have also forever have ingrained yourself in the city of Chicago, all sides of the suburbs. While there's been awesome growth and competition of other affiliated baseball teams around the city, how have you guys been able to do that? Because we always hear arguments from certain people saying you have to stay there, you have to be here in order to take advantage of that fan base, that demographic, that the geographical area. But you guys have done a great job. The Kane County Cougars have done a great job of ingratiating yourselves with the Chicagoland area and Kane County and everything surrounding it. How have you been able to pull that off?
You know, I think when we first started, we really pioneered minor league sports in the Chicago area. When we first started back in 91, there was no other minor league sports teams here. And we pretty much were the first minor league sports team, regardless of being baseball, whatever it was, hockey, lacrosse, we were the first. And we attached ourselves to a major market like Chicago. No other minor league team had ever done that. And we proved to be very successful with that. And then all of a sudden you had the Chicago Wolves, and then you had all these other minor league sports teams kind of follow suit. And that was pretty amazing back then, because I grew up in this area and nobody even heard of minor league sports. You know, all we knew was the Cubs, the Sox, the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks. We didn't even think about minor league sports. That was something for, you know, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, or, you know, places out in you know, in a country that Clinton, Iowa, or whatever it might have been, it was just amazing. And since then, and then I don't know if you remember this, but in 1994, there was a baseball strike. Mm-hmm. And in 1994, late in the summer, there was no place to go for baseball. The Cubs and Sox fans and all those people, they had no place to go. And you know what? They came here. And it kind of put us on the map in the Chicago, you know, area itself, not just out here in the suburbs, but in Chicago. We had Cubs and Sox fans coming to our ballpark during that strike to get their fix on baseball. That was huge. And since then, we have just taken off, and it's what's amazing is we've kept it consistent. You know, we haven't had this honeymoon period. We have grown, and we continue to grow, and we continue to put smiles on people's faces. We continue to create memories, and the fan experience here is second to none. I'm not kidding. It's second to none. It's a very special place, and we just continue to keep that good reputation and good image in the Chicago area, and we're just thankful for all the people that support us.
Dev?
Yeah, Curtis, the Cougars have been around for, you know, it's amazing when you say that too, and there's been so many players, like you mentioned, that have gone to the pros here. Is there anyone currently on the team that, you know, you're saying, you know, we should keep our eye on that guy, he's going to be something someday?
You know, we're still, the roster's still coming together. We'll know more in the next couple weeks, but, you know, at this point, we've got a really good pitching staff. We've got some guys that, you know, have a lot of potential. The position players are still coming together, but, you know, we'll see. I'll know more in a couple weeks on that.
How long does it take, or how much communication is there between agents and other MLB teams themselves and the coaching staff when it comes to building these rosters? I think that's something that, you know, we're all interested in, but we do, like you said, we get our fix when it comes to the Adam Schefters or the agent Roger Nowskis when it comes to those sports. But when it comes to fixtures like King County, how much is there communication between all the different levels and even outside sources when building these rosters?
There's just the main communication, I would say, is with the agents. Agents are always, you know, we're always reaching out to them. They're reaching out to us. They've got a stable of players that, you know, need a place to play. And, you know, and it's just, that's probably the biggest thing. And our skipper, George Samus, he's the guy that does a lot of the player procurement, most of it. I mean, probably 95% of it. And he does a great job. He's got a lot of connections. He's been around a long time. He's got a lot of success in St. Paul, particularly, for many years. He actually retired his jersey there. He's great at putting together the roster, and it takes time. And he's mainly dealing with agents and scouts and people like that. And it's pretty amazing how it all comes together. And then, you know, off we go on May 14th with our first home opener.
Curtis, we could do this all day, so I know you're super busy. I'll leave it for Dev to give us the final question, because you've been so awesome, and I know everybody's excited to get out to the ballpark. Dev?
Yeah, Curtis, I know they're going to, one night this season is going to be the Kane County Cicadas, but this is something I have to know. Where did the Atomic Pork Chops come from?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know if you know this, but down the road, we have Fermilab. It's a world-renowned place. You know, a lot of scientific experiments and things like that to go on there. It's called Fermilab. And our most signature popular sandwich over the years has been our pork chop sandwich. Delicious, huge pork chop, 10-ounce pork chop barbecue. So we thought, let's combine the two. You got this great pork chop sandwich, and you got Fermilab. Let's call it the Atomic Pork Chop. And, you know, it's not just the barbecue sauce anymore. Now we've got atomic sauce, and we've got all these different sauces that we put on it. Sure, you have to sign a waiver on some of them, but it's pretty cool how the Atomic Pork Chop has taken off. And I'm telling you, if you're ever here at a game, you got to try one. They're delicious.
All right, so a peek behind the curtain. One of our awesome co-hosts, Paul Shivari, he couldn't be here today. But one of the things he wanted to make sure, besides a very important, you know, culture talk and baseball talk, is that we needed to know about the Atomic Pork Chops. So we did it, and it is a mainstay. So great baseball, great atmosphere, great food, and a great organization with awesome people being led by the vice president and general manager of the Kane County Cougars. He is Curtis Haug. Thank you so much, Curtis. This was an absolute pleasure. And, you know, for everybody listening, we know how much of a fixture, like you said, Kane County Cougars were when I was growing up, when the internet was, everything was the internet, trying to get your scores, your box scores and everything. That was one of the logos that was up there, right there with the Chicago Fire, right there with the Chicago Bulls. When the sky came in, it was one of those teams that was right there that people followed, and it has stayed true to this very day. And we are so excited for what you guys have to do. So, Curtis, any final words for your people here in the Chicagoland area?
Just, hey, we're looking forward to a great season. And we're looking forward to some great nights here at the ballpark. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. Come out and see us. And again, it's just a great place. It's just a fun place. It's very special there's something for everybody here. And we look forward to seeing you at the ballpark. That's for sure. And we appreciate being on the show. And hopefully, you guys will get out to the ballpark. Just let me know. We'll get you hooked up out here for a game on one of the Atomic Pork Chop nights or on Kane County Cicada night. That would be a fun one too.
So you
just let me know. But again, thanks guys, and thank you fans. We look forward to seeing you at the park.
You guys are a world-class ran organization, a fun time, and right here in the Chicagoland area. Anybody listening to us nationally, if you need a reason, not that you need any to come to Chicago, but you must this summer, check out our friends over at the Kane County Cougars. And our friend, Vice President and General Manager of the Kane County Cougars, Curtis Haug, joining us today on the Sports Cubicle. Thank you so much, Curtis. Thank you so much, buddy. We got more coming up next here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. He's Devin Tingle. We keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I'm joined with the one, the only, Paul Shavari. And Paulie, this has been something that we've kind of been keeping our eyes on. Everything that's going on with college sports, the NIL, and the entire economic structure that is going on with these institutes, with these athletes, and the future of college sports. And there is a report coming out now, something that you were bringing up before we hit on the mics that really piqued my interest. And I want to run this by from USA Today. Would a collective bargaining agreement in college football minimize bowl game opt-outs? This is from Evan Desai over at the Arizona Republic. The NIL world has opened doors for college athletes to earn their share of money for their performance. Per ESPN senior writer Heather Dench, among the conversations around NIL, rules and regulations being put into place, there are bowl leaders interested in a collective bargaining agreement established among the players that would aid in minimizing the number of postseason opt-outs. Executive Director of Bowl Season, Nick Carparelli, shed some light on that at the Fiesta Bowl Spring Summit. His feel for the situation, after speaking with conference commissioners and president of the NCAA, Charlie Baker, was that NIL collectives are likely to set to be brought in-house and that discussions would have been regarding contracts being exchanged for NIL payments. While Carparelli did say that bowl season does not make an official count for how many players opt out of bowl games, his estimate is that approximately 8 players on each team opt out of bowls. He expects these contracts to cut into that number. So check out that entire article over at USA Today from Evan Desai. Would a collective bargaining agreement in college football minimize bowl game opt-outs? Now, Paulie, I'm going to throw it to you in a second because I want to take away what I'm about to say as in the actual issue I have with all this, because I actually think your idea on the field for the sport is actually a really great idea. But I want to talk about kind of the nuance before we get to the fun stuff of what you actually think can help fix the sport of college football beyond just Absolutely. National champions. This is all a television product to begin with. The reason why there's so many bowl games is not because they're prestigious. It's not because the Mayo Bowl is a game that everybody wants to win in the Big Ten or the SEC. It's because ESPN and CBS decided we need more television shows for our audience that is junkies for college football. And to be upset to hear bowl leaders, these con people who are there to just show their product placement all over a stadium and have these college kids, you know, hoist up a dumb Nokia phone or something to be complaining about, we need these players to opt in. These contracts are what killing them. Well, let me make one thing perfectly clear, and I think you agree with me. If I could be a starting linebacker in the NFL for the LA Chargers, the Vegas Raiders, the Green Bay Packers, and the difference of me tearing my ACL or not tearing my ACL is playing in the Gingerbread Bowl, I think I'm going to decide to not play and opt out. I think that's what makes this so, makes me so angry, is the disingenuousness of this conversation. This isn't coming from the students of these institutes, even from the players of these institutes. It's coming from the CEOs and the marketing people from these big time bowl games. And let's also make one thing clear. They just said 8 players per team. Those are the only ones who are going to make a career outside of college football that are opting out. People who are going to play in the NFL. These aren't the day-to-day players that make up most of these rosters. That was my thing, because before we get to the actual fun of what could be your idea, the idea that this is even coming up because of of bowl members is what just kind of drives me up the wall, because they're part of the problem.
Well, okay, so the first thing that cracks me up is like, oh, so there is money that we can give to these guys. You know, it's like, it's funny that when push comes to shove that, you know, like, oh, some funds have opened up for these guys. I understand what the NCAA is trying to do here, you know, what the intentions are, you know, they're trying to sell their product. I was kind of looking this up while you were talking. In my lifetime, so when I was born, there were only 12 bowl games total. Only 12 bowl games total.
That's okay. Crazy.
It could be a little off on the numbers here, but that's what I counted on a quick count. Since I came into this world, 30 bowl games have come into existence.
That's unreal.
No, some have come and gone. Some have changed, you know, names so much, you know, because I know that it wasn't the Guaranteed Rate Bowl when it started in 1980, whatever. You know, it was probably something else. And the newest one starting in, 2023 was the famous Toastery Bowl.
Let's go, prestige.
Yeah. So I liked the, what was it, the Duke's Mayo Bowl? That was like the guy, the giant Duke's Mayo.
Elk Grove. Elk Grove Village had a bowl
that's
game.
Right?
Like, that's where we're at. What are we talking about? All right.
What's that tiny little village, the Village of Bedford Park? The Village of Bedford Park.
Come on, dude.
Come open a business.
Shout out to both. Shout out to both for shining. We don't want to stop any of your shine. But you had a great idea. I think, like, I know before as you continue your thought, but don't, I do think that behind all this there is a way to have a serious conversation about what this actually is, who's behind the complaints, what they're looking for, and for the sports fan, some way you can actually make this entertaining too.
Well, okay, so I think I've brought this up on this show before. I don't remember whatever, you know, has made it on the air and off the air, you know, between our conversations, but I can make college football way more interesting than it is already, okay? And we already, like, we're in this era where the conferences mean nothing. They mean nothing. And I know that people are going to get really upset when they hear my idea, but at the same time, this is a way better idea than what it is right now, okay? So we know that all these bowl games are meaningless other than, like, you know, the college football playoff, you know? At the same time, there's the nice little traditions, you know,
yes,
like when the Rose Bowl is not part of the playoff, you know, but at the same time,
the Gator Bowl.
You know,
like,
there's
that.
No more Pac-10 anymore,
yeah.
So the Rose Bowl is kind of meaningless there. You know, the Gator Bowl, the Sun Bowl, you know,
yeah,
that's existed since the 30s.
There are some good ones, just like not everything is a major in golf, right? Like, there are some great tournaments.
Well, the traditions are neat, and it's, you know, it reminds me of a conversation I had with somebody years ago who was this big Notre Dame fan, and he thought he knew everything about college football. And this is when they started talking about doing the playoff system, I think, with the four teams or whatever. Because before, I think back then it was the 1-2. And then there was always controversy because, like, the 3 might be, you know, worthy enough to make it.
It was the committee making these decisions.
Yeah, yeah. So he was, you know, we're talking about, like, oh, yeah, you know, how are they going to do it? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, they'll use, like, the Rose Bowl and all that. But I was like, don't be surprised if the Cotton Bowl isn't played at the Cotton Bowl. It's played at Jerry World, which ended up happening. You know,
which makes sense.
That'll never happen. That'll never. It's like, no, like, bro, they want money.
Yeah.
They're not going to put this thing in a podunky little 1940s bowl. They're going to put this in, like, an actual super mega stadium where they can sell the snot out of it for billions of dollars. Okay, so my plan is to divide up the entire thing, get rid of the conferences. all of the Division I teams are all kind of placed into tiered systems, not unlike soccer everywhere else in the world. So like the English Premier League, Bundesliga, like that. So there'd be the top tier. And, you know, it's going to be contentious at the beginning, but it's all the teams that have performed well over the last few years. You can figure out whatever coefficients you want to use to determine who the best programs are. You have a top tier that has your Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Georgia. And, you know, I think I'd have to play with the numbers a little bit, but let's say that there's 12 to 16 teams or whatever. The bowl games at the end of the season would be determining who gets relegated out of that league and who the champion is, okay? So, you know, we'd have to obviously play with this and figure out, you know, how this would work exactly. But and I did this over the holidays. I kind of, for fun, was trying to figure this out, and I don't have the sheet in front of me. But you could divide this up into, I think, like 7 or 8 different tiers and then have, you know, the bottom tier try and work its way up, and then the teams that get relegated, you know, because year to year, yes, it changes. But at the same time, you know, it's up to the strength of the program, you know, so it's like, yeah, the top recruits are going to want to go to the Premier League. You know, they're going to want to play for the Alabamas and the Georgias and this and that. But there's always going to be a bad team out of there. You know, there's always teams that look great on paper, Colorado, and then end up being terrible after they play their non-conference schedule.
Colorado.
You know, where coaches suddenly, quote, have time to chat on Twitter.
We don't have time to deal with his nonsense. I mean, shout out to Prime. Who doesn't love Prime? But he's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Gosh. Yeah. Well, yeah. The best roast I heard of him is he's LeVar Ball, the headset.
Oh, that's mean. LeVar Ball, which
where's
never
the
lost.
Lie? Where's
well,
the lie?
Super Bowls. Yeah, these ones got championships. Yeah, never lost. Never lost.
Yeah. Hey, what is LeVar Ball played for the Jets? I'm sure that qualified him to be parents of. Anyway, okay. So what I'm saying, though, is that a top tier system, so the top programs go into the system the first year and have a chance to either win the whole thing, stay in it for next year, or get relegated out to the second tier. And then there's second tier teams, probably your Tennessees and your Michigan States, or, you know, whoever, you know, Iowa, whoever, that try and work their way up into the Premier League. Every team has a chance. You know, this is where, like, your Tulsas, if they're consistently great and keep winning that tier. And it's like, you know, it'd be like two or three teams get promoted, two or three teams get relegated. You could figure out the logistics in this, but could you imagine every week you get a prime matchup? You get an Alabama versus Ohio State in October rather than waiting until January, when guys might be injured, it might be a little bit different. But then week to week, you have, no matter what, a prime matchup. Now your bowl games in December and January turn into championship games. This is where the Boca Raton Bowl is now important, because you have Southeast Mississippi State going up against Northwestern Oregon or whatever, you know, or Portland State, to try to determine who's going to make it into the sixth tier, you know.
Sure.
That's
way better than watching
some meaningless game on a Wednesday before Christmas where there's nobody in the stadium.
So I think there's a lot that you can, that can be tweaked and will make it, as an idea, work. I think expansion, I think it should be 24 teams. I think there's the idea of what makes a team relegated, how you should keep the identity of your conference, because there should be some bragging rights of the Big Ten has 7 premier teams while SEC has 8 and so on.
See,
and so on.
I wouldn't even do it that way. I would just go with the coefficient of how programs have performed over the last 4 to 6 years or whatever, determine who the best. And the reason why I picked like 12 to 16 is because the amount of games that are going to have to be played. And of course, this is just a kind of a half-baked
idea.
But
this is the idea that you can have ideas upon, like, it can be fun, it can be worked on, it can be tweaked, because at the end of the day, this conversation started on one thing. This is a television product.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and you're saying,
and every week
make it more entertaining.
You will have a top tier matchup. You will have 6 to 10 or whatever top tier matchups every week. You will know what your Sunday night game or Saturday night game is.
And I think what it's most important is the transparency. The NIL deals, these contracts, these coaches, these ADs, these colleges, these institutes, the networks, the fan base, everybody involved. Everybody should keep everything up front, on top of table, full transparency. It is a TV product. This is a factory. Most of these guys are using it for scholarship to be in college. This is the highest they'll get up to. Some other cats are going to the NFL. Their bodies are their temples. There are going to be reasons for them to opt out. But at the end of the day, if everybody is up front with each other and honest, your idea, whatever tweaks may come from it, whatever the idea may end up being, can work. if we're all honest about it. But Paulie, any final thoughts? This was a fun conversation on a very busy edition of the Sports Cubicle.
The reason why I thought of this is because you watch all of these top tier European soccer leagues, and it's like, you know, wow, if only we had like something like that in the United States. Well, we do. It's college football. Look at the fervor, the fanfare, you know, like the people, the tribalism, people in song, you know, it's the pride, you know. So I think that's why. But at the same time, like, when does the Egg Bowl ever matter? Do you even know what two teams are in the Egg Bowl? I'll give you a hint. They're both Southeastern Conference.
I will say it is the
Think of the two, like, just
Harper
most,
Hawks and the College of the Page
two
Oaks,
SEC schools that never win championships.
Mississippi State and
big rivalry in state.
Ole Miss?
Yeah,
wow.
That's the Egg Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, like, I can't believe I pulled that one completely out of my sports spot.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, when does that ever matter? Yeah. You know, like, I think what, like, between the two of them, they have a couple of good seasons in the last decade. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like they're fodder. They're Alabama plays an easy schedule for you know, what they're given. Mm. And then also, you know, for some of those games, like the Mississippi State's Ole Miss is whoever's the bottom of the pack. And then you have, like, they'll play, like, Alabama A&M. And I'm done with that. I'm done with the small schools leeching off the big schools and the big schools getting easy wins off the little schools. I get that there's money involved, but when you have this tiered system, you can have actual television contracts revolved around that and have these schools making certain money. And then you can have wealth redistribution from the top tier every week having prime matchups versus, like, no one cares about Vanderbilt, man. Nobody.
Except for the ultimate partner in all this, the gambling networks and partners. Interesting, huh? We want to know your thoughts. We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. We're on YouTube at The Sports Cubicle. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, Apple, Spotify, at Sports from the College, The Sports Cubicle, of course, at Heartland Signal, at The Sports Cubicle. Shout out to everybody checking us out here on WCPT 820 AM. A very fun edition of The Sports Cubicle conversation here on The Sports Cubicle with the one and only Paul Shavari. I'm Mike Mercado.
Not everyone was lucky in the Kentucky Derby, and not everyone's been lucky right now as we get the NHL and the NBA playoffs going on right now. I mean, as we saw last night, we saw the Toronto Maple Leafs get eliminated. We go into the NBA playoffs.
We got everything to say except as we're recording, the Cavaliers and the Magic for the right to play Boston. Everything else is settled, and it's a lot of different, you know, flavor to it. There's no Warriors, no Lakers, you know, so, and no Heat. So there's a lot of different things going on. You know, Thunder, they're the number one seed in the West, and they're still going strong. And, you know, the Celtics similarly in the East. So we don't know the Celtics opponent at this moment, but we do have a great series. The Knicks and the Pacers will be the other side of that East. And in the West, you know, it's going to be, you're going to have the Mavericks advance. And so that's a little bit of a different flavor. The Nuggets already played a game against the Timberwolves and lost at home. So that's a little different name in the tournament. The Nuggets are the, you know, defending champions and all, but I think that it's a whole different flavor. You don't have a lot of the superstar names that you're used to seeing, so it will be interesting to see how the ratings are.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the last time LeBron was not in the playoffs, Marvelous.
Well, he's always in the playoffs, but he doesn't usually get knocked out in the first round. But he had to play. They had to play the champs because they were in the play-in group.
Yeah, especially, yeah, with the Nuggets coming off, it was their first ever championship win last year. So, I mean, this is a team that's definitely got a lot to prove here. And losing that, you know, losing game five, losing their first game at home to the Timberwolves, not exactly a good look here. But do you think they'll be able to bounce back, Marvelous?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would favor them to do so. And it would be interesting on the other side. You know, like I say, there's a new flavor there with the, you know, the Mavericks and the Thunder. So I don't know. I like Denver. I mean, the Joker is pretty dominant, and they've been getting some great contributions. I mean, there's, you know, they're definitely a well-rounded team, and then they seem to be hungry still, which sometimes isn't the case for repeat champs.
Definitely something. If we go to the other side of, I guess, the court, going to the NHL, yeah, having their first round of playoffs is going to end tonight here with the Golden Knights, another first-time championship defending, taking on the Dallas Stars, Marvelous, here. And I must say, it's just another case of the retaining champs, the reigning defending champs coming back here and just barely by the skin of their hair trying to keep it going here. Do you have any thoughts on the Knights Dallas Stars game tonight? That time of recording, we don't know who won.
Yeah, well, I like the Knights to go on. I don't have any rooting interest in that, but I think that they'll probably move on in that tournament in the Western Division. And it's in the NHL sometimes you get a lot of surprises. You know, like when Vegas got to the finals right away in their first year as an expansion team, and you never know what's going to happen there. So it should be interesting because the Avalanche looked very strong in the West. You know, they took care of Winnipeg pretty quick. So that will be interesting too, to see the winner of that game that you just mentioned. It's Colorado, and in the meantime you've got an all Western Canada playoff game between Edmonton and Vancouver. So again, there aren't too many of the shining light big U.S. cities out west either, except for maybe Dallas. But it should be interesting. I think the East looks a little stronger than the West this year, but you never can tell. Rangers and Carolina, for example, is going to be an interesting matchup. And you got the Bruins against the Florida Panthers. So those are four pretty strong teams. It seems like the East might have an advantage this year, but we'll see.
And let's go on to a league that is getting way I'm glad to see getting way more attention here with the WNBA. Marvelous. It happened. Yeah. So, Caitlin Clark was able to do what the White Sox have yet never done in my history of being a fan. She was able to sell out a WNBA preseason game. A game you couldn't even find on TV. Marvelous.
I know. Well, I told you my theory off the air. The NBA was on ESPN at the same time, and they were afraid to put this game on ESPN2. they would have lost in the ratings.
Aren't but it was like a tight seven game. ESPNs now?
Yeah, I know. You and the news. But it was quite a game. Caitlin got 21, but they did lose on a last-second shot by the Wings from Dallas. So just a preseason game, and the Sky are underway too, so with their preseason. So I just was wondering if Caitlin's going to be able to go to her college graduation now. I don't think there was much of an issue, but I was thinking about that because all the college graduations are coming up. And I don't know when Iowa's is, but I'm sure they'll mail you the diploma.
It's one of those things, Marvelous. We're seeing at WNBA games are selling out like crazy here. Is that something you thought you'd ever see in your lifetime?
Well, I there were some instances of that, even when the Sky had their championship season with Parker, they sold towards the end of the year. So that was one instance of that. I'm sure there have been others, but I think that this phenomenon is going to last. Certainly at Indiana, sold out, and on the road too. But we'll see how she does. I mean, if she doesn't, hit 21, that's like an off night for her based upon her college career. We'll see how it goes.
And I looked it up, Marvelous. Iowa's graduation, it goes from May 8th all the way to May 11th based on what your major is. So maybe they'll give her a day off. Yeah. Maybe she'll take the diploma mail. She's selling out stadiums right now, Marvelous. Which would you rather have?
Exactly. If I'm the owner, I like the ticket sales. And I don't know if this is going to help the WNBA TV deal. They're not up for a new one like the NBA is. But, I think that what they're trying to do is get more visibility, at least on TV. There's a lot of games this year that are being shown, and even the college game, they're trying to modify things so that there's more eyeballs on the Final Four for the girls women's tournament.
Yeah, it was one of those things when I googled this story for stuff, I came how to watch Caitlin Clark and other WNBA games, and we're definitely seeing some sort of surge in people of all, not just women now, apparently men are also starting to watch too. The WNBA is really getting a whole new vibe of fans through people like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Yeah. It's just all kind of cool to see, Marvelous, just something different here. And let's be real here. When we're seeing a team in Chicago that, keeps barely almost getting to the playoffs, but losing all these play-in games year in and year out, it might be nice to see a basketball team that wins like the Sky.
That would be nice. I mean, they won before, and hopefully they'll do it again because they did get Reese and the Cardoza. So I from South Carolina, so I think they have a good nucleus. I don't know much about the overall competition. I've studied a little bit, but I think that they're definitely going to be playoff contenders. Whether they win it all, I'm not so sure, because there are a lot of strong teams. The Aces in Vegas, they've got a lot of strong teams out there. So in the Liberty in New York. So we'll see how it goes.
WNBA games are selling out because of Caitlin Clark. NBA playoffs round two starting off. NHL round one playoffs ending up here. We're at the end of the show, Marvelous. You got any closing remarks for us?
No, I think it's a great time of year for the winter hit the spring playoffs. And once again, the United Center is done. The ice has been melted, and the only thing they're going to have there are concerts for a while. But it would be nice to see a Chicago team in the playoffs, is my thought on that. And it looks like it may be a while. I mean, the Blackhawks don't seem close at all, even with their new star Bedard and whatnot. And the Bulls have had, you know, they're 2 years in a row now. They had the play-in tournament, and we'll see if they're still going to have the big three next year, or if they're going to try to regroup. It will be very interesting to see what they do with that roster.
And while you're waiting for a Chicago team to make it to the playoffs, waiting for a Chicago team to win it all, you can keep it locked right here on WCPT 820 AM. This is the Sports Cubicle for the marvelous one, Dan Marver, not related to the mystic Dan. There was no last name, Dan Horse. I don't know. This has been the Sports Cubicle. Mike Mercado, Paul Shavari, thank you all, our contributors. Have a good night, and thank you all for listening.